Hello, and welcome to Ask a Physical Therapist. You're joining us on KDNK. I'm your host, Dr. Tanis Kitchener, physical therapist, and today I have Gina Mundy joining us. Gina has written a book that's just come out fairly recently, right, Gina?
That's right, June 2023.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background and what kind of drove you to sit down and spend the time to write this book?
Absolutely. And Tana, thank you for having me on the show today. I'm very excited about our conversation. So I am an attorney that specializes in childbirth cases. And just so your audience understands what a childbirth case is, it's a case involving the birth of a baby when something goes wrong and baby is not born healthy, or sometimes the baby may pass during childbirth, sometimes the mom may pass during childbirth. As the attorney, I come in and find out what happened, what went wrong, why, more importantly, what should have been done so baby would have been born healthy, or, you know, mom around to raise their baby. So those questions have taken me all over the United States, basically sitting down with delivery teams, experts, and hashing out every aspect of labor and delivery. You know, I'm an attorney in these cases. You know, I'm not the lucky medical, well, I shouldn't say in the cases, but, you know, medical professionals, they get to see the good, the bad, you know, the ones who are on delivery teams and deliver babies. You know, it's my job. Unfortunately, I just see the bad. And then not only that, I have to analyze it. And these cases take years. So I have had many, many cases over 21 years just analyzing these mistakes. And about 19, so I've done this 21 years, 19 years into my profession, we had what I like to call like a close, almost tragic event in our family during the childbirth, the birth of one of the babies in our family. And it basically stopped me in my tracks. Of course, when I got the phone call, which was from my sister, we were hoping to hear the good news that her daughter, had her first grandchild. My sister's first grandchild. But instead, it was kind of one of those moments you'll never forget where you were. I was in my kitchen surrounded by my kids, and there's my sister screaming, the baby crashed. And I ran outside. And as I listened to her, you know, I did, of course, my attorney analysis, because I've heard those words in my cases, and sometimes those are the really bad outcomes. But then I stopped, and as I listened to her cry, you know, it was this, oh my goodness, this is how the families feel. This is this transitional moment that the families have described, you know, to me for the last 21 years, because they always describe, you know, their pre-baby life and then their post-baby life. And, you know, it stopped me. It took me out of the grind. It just stopped me as a human, a mom. And then we finally were able to get the good news that my niece's baby would be okay. And luckily, I was on the phone when that happened, and it was a huge sigh of relief. But that moment just stuck with me. I have three kids. I have a 19-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 9-year-old. Oldest are two girls, and then I have my son. But, you know, the thought of, like, wait a minute, what if I'm not around for the birth of my grandkids? Because I'll tell you, based upon what I've seen over the 21 years, how I would prepare my kids for childbirth is completely different than how, you know, a family may otherwise prepare for childbirth. So I sat down and I started writing everything that I had learned from the cases, because unfortunately, a lot of the mistakes are reoccurring. A lot of the complications are reoccurring. They continue to occur literally since my first case in February 2003. So as I started writing, I went from attorney to author, and it just all came out. And, you know, basically I realized that this is not information that will only help my kids have a healthy baby, but this is information that will help a lot of families around the world have a healthy baby.
Mm-hmm. And so the book's name is A Parent's Guide to a Safer Childbirth, Expecting the Best, Using the Power of Knowledge to Help You Deliver a Healthy Baby. And that's really what this podcast is about, is empowering our listeners with more knowledge so that they can go forth and seek what's the best option for treatment or intervention or prevention for them. So I'm so glad that you're on the show. And a big subset of our specialty here at my clinic and in what we try to focus on in the show is also women's health and pelvic health.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And part of my practice is doing prenatal postpartum care. And I love seeing women in the clinic prenatally to start preparing them for labor. And so I'm going to use a lot of some of the stuff in your book I was aware of and some of it I wasn't. And I'm so excited to start sharing that information and passing your book along to my clients.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Are you doing the prenatal adjustments?
I do incorporate some spinning babies techniques just to try to encourage the ligaments that suspend the uterus to be as balanced as possible so we don't have more tension on one side than the other. There's some studies or research out there that indicates that that may decrease risk of C-section or rates of C-section, I should say. It also helps to just improve comfort levels. And then I help transition women who are ready and who would like to, that don't have any precautions, into doing some of the internal or perineal massage towards the end of pregnancy to help prepare the pelvic floor. But we go through things like, what is their current birth plan if they're planning on delivering without an epidural? What are the different positions that they might be pushing in? And testing that, like, do they have the hip range of motion to do that? Do they have the shoulder strength to be in that position? And we can use an ultrasound or biofeedback to see what their pelvic floor muscles are doing at that point. So if they have a position where their pelvic floor muscles aren't relaxing, that's not going to be a good position for them to push in because they want the pelvic floor to open up. It's been really fun. It's a great tool. And I've had some clients who I saw postpartum from their first pregnancy, and they didn't get any prenatal support. Of course, they learned from the first pregnancy, but I've had some now cycle through where they've come to me during their pregnancy for the second one, and they've just had a totally different experience.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I love what you guys are doing. I'm actually just, ever since I published my book, I'm learning all about what you guys do. And it's interesting because when I published my book, I really kind of focused on the reoccurring facts, reoccurring issues in the cases. And what I did not focus on, and which I have been focusing since I published the book, is what is not in my cases? What don't I see in my cases? Mm-hmm. Because that means whatever that is, it's helping to, helping parents to have healthy babies. And seriously, one of the things that I'd never see, and I would see, because if a mom, she has a bad experience during childbirth and there is a lawsuit, every single provider that that mom saw during her pregnancy would then become relevant to our case. So they would be part of the case. So if mom saw a chiropractor who did what you did, that would be part of the case. And I would actually have to come meet with you and whatnot. But I'll tell you, I've gone back. I have no cases involving a chiropractor who does this. I mean, it's amazing because you guys are helping and preparing these parents in a way that it's reducing the complications and mistakes during childbirth. So I absolutely love it.
That's really good to hear. I think supportive and ancillary team members can play such a vital role in prevention and rehab. Just to be clear, I'm a doctor of physical therapy, and I love collaborating with other providers, including chiropractors, doulas, anybody who's going to add to the team and bring their specific expertise. I know there are a lot of chiropractors who do some special techniques called the Webster technique, and that can be really helpful, and especially paired with some pelvic floor PT can make significant shifts for some women, especially women who might be having pelvic girdle pain or back pain during their pregnancy. But preparing the body for this physical challenge, you know, even if everything goes absolutely right, we don't often give it the credit of what a physical and endurance challenge it can be. So going through some of that stuff, and if helping somebody be as active as they want to be during their pregnancy as well is important.
That's awesome. And you know what? I'm sorry. It's a really bad habit. Talk about you guys and chiropractic interchangeably. But no, the physical therapy aspect, that is, we can talk later about somebody you're probably familiar with. But that is physical therapy. Sorry, I apologize.
No apology
needed. And also, by the way, another something that's very important that's not in my cases and has never been in my cases in 21 years, a doula. And we have a bunch of doulas around here who are helping parents. So again, having a doula involved in, you know, the birth of a baby, again, since they're not in my cases, I only see the bad and the mistakes and complications tells me that doulas are definitely helping to bring babies safely into this world.
Fantastic. That's such good information, because reading the book is really helpful, but we're only going to scratch the surface in the book. So if somebody can grab it, if they're in this population, I would recommend it. I'm just going to quickly go through some of the most specific lessons, and then a few of them I want to hit on, and we can hopefully expand a little bit on. Your number one lesson in the book, or at least it's presented first, is to learn about labor and delivery. So one of the quotes that I actually really loved in your book is, let me actually pull it up here, which speaks to me and the mission of this podcast, actually, is, you write, when examining past legal cases involving babies, a significant observation emerges. None of the families involved in the legal cases were healthcare professionals that had experience delivering babies. This implies that individuals with a solid understanding of labor and delivery, including the interpretation of the baby's heart rate, as well as various interventions and available options, are less likely to be involved in legal baby cases. Their knowledge of labor and delivery enables them to navigate the process more effectively, thereby avoiding the mistakes and challenges faced by other families. I have to say, by reading your book, you did a fantastic job of taking that knowledge gap and putting it in there, because how many people would read that and go, well, I'm not a medical professional, but I think I can learn enough. Most people would say, well, shoot, I guess I'm in trouble. But you presented all of those things.
Yeah, no. And then, you know, I do go through what I believe is important, like the foundation of what you need to know about childbirth. It's the things that I know as a childbirth attorney. So if I'm looking at a case and I'm like, is this good care or is this bad care? There are certain things I rely upon, and, you know, and that's what I try to touch on in the book. So that way parents have that good knowledge base to make those good decisions, because the families in these cases are literally one decision or minutes from a healthy baby.
And so on that vein, your number two is really identifying who your delivery team is. And as you put it, learning how to use your heart and your brain together to evaluate your team. And you also go into some more details on, okay, what are some aspects to look at and how do we navigate if we're having some trouble there? And also how to talk to your physician prior to going into delivery, or sorry, prior to going into labor, about what to do if there's any challenges. And if we have some time, we can come back to this. But is there anything else that you think the listeners should know that's just a snippet of information regarding what to look for in their team when they end up at the hospital, if they choose to go to the hospital?
Just keep in mind that your delivery team, with the exception of your doctor, are typically the people that are scheduled to work that day. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind that in my cases, it's the delivery team's care that is at issue and analyzed more than any other aspect of the case. They are responsible for bringing your baby safely into this world. So making sure you understand your delivery team and that you have a good one is incredibly important.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, it's who's working that day. So it's not something that you can shop for ahead of time. But
exactly.
Having some tips and tricks on what to look for and how to navigate it is important. And I'm going to skip a bit because this leads really well into one of your lessons is having a baby advocate. So can you tell us a little bit more about what a baby advocate is?
Oh, sure. So baby advocate, so could be somebody like your husband. It could be mom, your mom. Grandmas make excellent baby advocates, by the way. It could be your friend, your aunt. But basically, it's a second set of eyes on baby. Here's the deal. Your family's going to be there, or part of your family, or your husband, partner. They're going to be there anyway. Why not give them a job? Mm-hmm. Why not say, okay, I'm going to designate you as the baby advocate, and now you have a new job, and just like you would for any new job, you would get a little bit of training. So then I go through, okay, these are the five important things that every baby advocate should know, and they then can help you make those good decisions. They can watch you. They can just kind of be that second set of eyes. In case, what if your delivery team, in my cases, delivery teams are very busy. When something goes wrong and there's a mistake or complication, a lot of times because delivery teams run in hard. So to have a baby advocate watching you, watching baby, who understands, you know, the important things about childbirth will definitely help you bring, you know, a healthy baby, you know, into this world. Because as mom, you are focusing on delivering your baby. And sometimes, and I've been in podcasts and they're like labor bubbles. I'm like, okay, we'll call it a labor bubble. But basically, when you go into labor, you go into a different, you know, state of mind. You have to get this baby in your belly, and you've got to mentally, physically focus on delivering the baby. And you want to stay relaxed. You don't want to go into fight or flight mode, because that's just going to delay everything. So designate a baby advocate to watch over you. I think partners are amazing advocates because they instinctually want to protect their wife, and they want to protect their baby, and they want to make sure both come home safely.
Yeah, that was a question I had, was if it seems appropriate for the spouse to be the baby advocate, or if it's even better to have it one removed. But it sounds like you're saying that in some cases it is, the spouse is a great baby advocate.
They, you know, they can be great advocates. Now, I have labor and delivery nurses who like to tell me that a lot of dads sit in the corner and play Candy Crush. Sometimes I think they're trying to upset me when they say that. So if dad's going to sit in the corner and play Candy Crush, then please, grandma, friend, aunt, whoever.
Maybe if dad had a job, he would feel he'd know what to do with himself.
You know, dad, I love that you said that because, you know, I'm married to a very busy business owner, and he doesn't really think, but if I, like, he's not going to proactively maybe do something. If I tell him to do something or ask him and we talk about it and we make a plan, he's on it.
Mm-hmm.
He is on it, but I have to give him the job. So yes, if mom, you read the book and you're like, okay, dad, you know, partner, here you go, I'm going to give you a job. They might be absolutely great at it. But yeah, sometimes you got to kind of point them in the right direction, and they'll take over 100%. Well, that's my husband 100%.
And I'm a doctor of physical therapy with extra pelvic floor training and women's health training, and I still learn some things from your book. I imagine that there's a lot of folks out there, especially men who maybe not have exchange of stories of labor and delivery with friends and mothers and sisters and whatnot, because it's just not typically the way that we run our culture. They probably just haven't been exposed to a lot of this. So yeah, I would imagine it would feel pretty isolating sometimes if you're not quite sure what to do. Maybe your book is a great tool of saying like, hey, let's read this together and figure out, is that your job? Or do we ask somebody else with these? What are our priorities for who's going to be our baby advocate?
I love that. I love that. I think that's absolutely perfect.
Do you think a doula would be appropriate for that, or is a doula's position really more for just supporting parents?
Oh, doula would be an amazing baby advocate. And, you know, it's great because they are trained. They understand, you know, you get a doula that's experienced. They're familiar with the hospital. They're likely familiar with the delivery team. And the doula will speak their language, which also helps. So a doula would be by far my number one choice as, you know, a baby advocate. But doulas, I mean, you find the right doula, they will educate also you and your partner and, you know, give you that education, too, that will help you during, you know, pregnancy to make sure you do have a healthy baby. I am just, you know, I wish I had more on my book on doulas. Like I had said, I really focus on reoccurring mistakes, and now that I've published the book, I'm like, wait a minute, what's not in my cases? What is helping parents have a healthy baby? So yes, I'm hoping to add something more in there about doulas, because the more I learn about doulas, just the more I absolutely love them. And, you know, it makes sense why I never professionally as a childbirth attorney, met a doula until after I published my book. And I've still, again, more of on their shows, hanging out, talking to them, learning what they know, type stuff.
Fantastic. So you also go over, obviously, picking the right doctor that matches your priorities, knowing the hospital. I found that chapter really enlightening as far as just the ease of identifying what's present for care of mom and what's present for care of baby. Those are not always the same, and you have to consider both in this instance. Is there anything that you could tell us about this as far as just a quick snippet of what to look for in a hospital?
So if it was at the birth of my grandkids, mm-hmm. I would want at least a level 2 hospital, which means they're going to have more advanced care for baby just in case something happened. So the aftercare of baby is just so important, especially if you're going to go undergo maybe like a Pitocin induction or there's something else that makes you more high risk. It's just important that that baby just have access to good, quick care.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to avoid is a situation where baby's being transferred from one hospital to another, because that can delay care. And then not to mention, you know, the mental trauma to a mom where mm-hmm. you have your baby and then your baby's transferred away from you. It's, mm-hmm. I've talked to moms that's happened to. It's very difficult. So afterbirth care of baby is just huge.
And so that's a level 2 trauma hospital in general. It's not level 2 specific to neonatal care.
I think it should be a level 2, yes.
In general.
That's right.
Okay.
In general, but making, yes, I think it does.
Okay. And then one of the things that I thought was so kind of profound is the message that I received, which is that the labor and delivery plan really might need to be very flexible. So I don't talk much about that up to this point, but I will start now with my clients as far as you have your labor and delivery plan, but this highlights that it should actually be quite flexible. For example, you do a lot of education on internal heart rate monitors. And there might be some circumstances where a mother chooses not to have that. However, they might decide, okay, well, if any of these things happen, like meconium is present, or labor and delivery seems particularly busy, or it's during rush hour, and I know my doctor might not make it here quickly, like maybe those higher interventional things actually happen sooner in the process than they otherwise would have, just based on the whole scenario. So I really appreciated the fact that you talked through some of these things to talk about being fluid with your birth plan.
100%. That's literally a reason to, well, I should say the reason you really need a birth plan is because childbirth is unpredictable, which is why you need a plan. Mm-hmm. You know, in order so you can pivot, make those good decisions. And, you know, my spin on a birth plan as a childbirth attorney is not so much the plan in and of itself and what you come up with. It's the act of preparing the plan, because mm-hmm. that is what's going to help prepare you for childbirth.
Mm-hmm. There are so many more things I want to talk to you about. And, of course, we got to wrap it up. But you go through, I'll just quickly, you have a couple of other lessons discussing the types of fetal monitors, educating folks on how to read the heart rate and what it means, understanding the different interventions in labor, understanding Pitocin, epidural, C-sections. I want to ask you about special considerations with specific populations for maternal injury mortality rates and what to do there. But I don't think we have the time. But I would love to, maybe we can catch up another time and we can follow up on some of this stuff.
Absolutely. And I would love that. And yes, we can definitely, I feel like we can finish the other half of the book up, ask about the other things you want to discuss.
Yeah. Just to kind of wrap us up today, do you mind reading that last paragraph of your last chapter?
Sure. The journey of labor is undoubtedly one of the most beautiful experiences that any mother can go through. The anticipation and excitement of welcoming a new life into the world are matched only by the sense of wonder and amazement at the miracle of childbirth. As you go through the journey of labor, keep your mind focused on what is to come, welcoming your little one into the world and the joy they will bring to your family.
Thank you so much, Gina. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed today's conversation.
Thanks for adding to, in a world where it seems like there's a lot of things against our ladies out there and the family space, I appreciate you adding to our ability to advocate for ourselves and have as much of a safe and successful birthing process as possible.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Standing down on Main Street across from Mr. Blues, my faded leather jacket, my weathered broken shoes. A chill north wind was blowing, but the spring was coming on, as I wondered to myself just how long I had been gone. So I strolled across old Main Street, walked down a flight of stairs, stepped into the hall, saw all my friends were there. A neon sign was flashing, welcome, come on in. It feels so good, feeling good again. Favorite band was playing an Otis Redding song. When they sang the chorus, everybody sang along. Dan and Margarita were swaying side by side. I heard they were divorcing, but I guess they let it slide. And I wished I had some money with which to buy around. I wished to cash my paycheck before I came to town. But I reached into my pocket, found three 20s and a 10. It feels so good, feeling good again.